President Donald Trump has endorsed Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany in the GOP primary for governor. It's Wednesday, January 28th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Senator Tammy Baldwin says Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem should be fired. And a new EPA rule would give Wisconsin and tribes in the state less power to protect waterways under the Clean Water Act when reviewing projects like dams or pipelines. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Farad.
We are your hosts of Wisconsin Weekend from WPR News.
Each week, our team works to uncover the stories and events that communities all over the state take pride in.
Our goal is to bring you closer to the unique perspectives and the traditions that make Wisconsin a great place to call home.
Along the way, you'll hear uplifting stories of neighbors in your community making a positive difference.
Saturday afternoon at 3 and Sunday morning at 10.
President Donald Trump has endorsed Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany in Wisconsin's Republican primary for governor. Anya Van Wagtendonk has the details.
Trump said Tiffany has his support in the race for Wisconsin governor, saying Tiffany had, quote, always been at my side. That ends the question of whether Trump will weigh in on the Republican primary, which also includes Washington County Executive Josh Shoman. The Wisconsin Democratic Party immediately criticized Trump's endorsement of Tiffany, saying it demonstrates how closely aligned the two are. Trump made the endorsement in a string of social media posts late Tuesday night. He also endorsed Michael Alfonso in the four-way GOP primary to replace Tiffany in representing Wisconsin's 7th District in Congress. Alfonso is the 25-year-old son-in-law of Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy. Duffy also used to represent Wisconsin's 7th. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Democratic Senator from Wisconsin Tammy Baldwin says Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem should be fired. This after federal immigration agents killed two Minnesota residents over the past month. Rich Kramer has more.
During a Tuesday press conference, Baldwin said Alex Preddy, who graduated from a Green Bay high school, and fellow Minnesota resident Renee Good should still be alive. She said the surge of thousands of masked, untrained immigration agents sparked chaos in Minneapolis. Baldwin says Noem needs to be fired or resign.
ICE is simply out of control. And this chaos has to stop. And the president needs to pull these armed, masked agents out of Minnesota before someone else gets hurt.
Baldwin says she refuses to support an immigration funding bill unless ICE is reined in. Other Democrats have made similar pledges, raising the prospect of another government shutdown late this week. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Madison is getting blowback after arguing in court that absentee voting is not a right. The city advanced that argument in response to a lawsuit over nearly 200 absentee ballots that went uncounted in the November 2024 election. As part of its attempt to get the case dismissed, the city has argued that under Wisconsin law, absentee voting is a privilege. But legal expert Brenna Goddard says Madison's use of that law is faulty.
Not. Would completely upend the system of absentee voting if that was adopted, because absentee voters would no longer have the faith or the right to have those votes counted.
In a statement, Madison's mayor says she supports absentee voting. She said the lawsuit is just about trying to get money from the city. A small school district at the tip of Door County was consistently outperforming state and national expectations. But then faculty members at the Sevastopol School District dug deeper and realized there were alarming learning gaps. Corrine Hess has more.
About 35% of students in Sevastopol qualify for free or reduced lunch. In 2018, state test scores showed they scored more than 20 points lower than their peers. So Sevastopol officials decided to look for a solution. Over the last 8 years, they've done everything from providing students with free meals to putting staff through an intensive poverty simulation. Principal Aaron Hiltz believes giving all students a sense of belonging at school has improved academics.
I'm excited because I can take a look at other districts. They might have a 1 or 2% economically disadvantaged population, and we can go toe-to-toe with them with our achievement scores.
In 2025, the district's economically disadvantaged students scored the same on state exams as their classmates. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Microsoft's plans for its latest data center expansion in Mount Pleasant got the okay from village officials this week. The tech giant wants to build 15 more data centers as part of a $13 billion project covering 1,300 acres. That's in addition to two other Microsoft campuses already under construction. The village board unanimously approved the company's site plans, and members of a local construction union showed up to the meeting to voice support for the project. Michael Irvin is the organizing director of the Operating Engineers Local 139.
This expansion will create good jobs for men and women that will transform to good union careers, not just jobs.
Microsoft's first data center campus in Mount Pleasant is set to be operational sometime this year. Wisconsin and tribes would have less power to protect waterways under the Clean Water Act when renewing energy and infrastructure projects. As Danielle Kading reports, the Environmental Protection Agency would limit their authority in a new rule.
EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin said the changes would protect water quality while ending, quote, weaponization of the law that has delayed or blocked projects. States and authorized tribes can review the effects of dams, bridges, and pipelines on wetlands and waterways under the Clean Water Act. The proposal would narrow water quality impacts they could consider. It would also create strict timeframes for review. Attorney Nancy Stoner with the Environmental Law and Policy Center says the EPA is chipping away at their power.
It's part of a larger strategy to make it easier for polluters to pollute.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has previously said Biden-era revisions to those regulations were more in line with the state's needs to protect water quality. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we'll revisit a story about a broomball game on a wintry night in La Crosse. Stay with us.
Are you an educator looking for ready-to-use classroom content and engaging professional learning? Visit pbswisconsineducation.org for free videos, games, lessons, and more, built to spark curiosity and support state standards. From writing and Wisconsin history to science and music, find what you need at pbswisconsineducation.org.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about a winter sport.
In Wisconsin, we know how to make the most of our winters. Some folks take the time to hibernate indoors, enjoy some crafts, dive into a TV series, or read through that stack of books. Other people do as much as they can outdoors. They cross-country ski, take the family sledding, or play broomball. Broomball is a lot like ice hockey, except players wear shoes and use a ball instead of a puck. The game originated in Canada in the early 20th century and eventually made its way to Wisconsin. In La Crosse, bar-sponsored teams hit the ice during most winters. The broomballers play on the north side of town, in a rink along the shores of the Mississippi River. I went to watch a game back in 2013. It was one of the coldest nights of the year. My feet were solid blocks of ice, and somehow my recorder did not freeze. And most importantly, the cold did not scare away the dedicated and resilient broomball players. Ladies and gentlemen, I take you to a night of broomball in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Mike Brogan. Basically, I'm kind of the coordinator for the league. My other job is park and recreation director for Holman. I've been playing since 1990. Broomball is essentially kind of hockey rules, a little slimmed down and made a little easier. We use a kind of a mini soccer ball that's about the size of a softball. You use a broom, but it's not really a broom anymore. It used to be brooms, actually. There's a few players that still have brooms at play, but they're mostly kind of a molded head, a little bigger nets, but without skates, so you're running on the ice. most of the players, we have broom ball shoes, which most of the world doesn't know what those are, but they're quite unique with kind of a Chuck Taylor type of look with the big spongy bottom.
My full name is Rachel Leering, and I'm playing for the Animal House team. I officially started 5 years ago, and I actually played for our rivals, John's team. I like to play broom ball because it's definitely a great activity in the wintertime when normally people just mope on their couches and watch TV all winter or sit in the bars, and this way you actually get out and get some exercise
and
sweat yourself up, and it's fun. And it's nice because I'm a little competitive, so having a nice sport in the winter is kind of nice to bring that out.
Come on, Nick, clear it out.
Nick Fallons. I got icicles on my eyebrows right now. That's why I love broom ball. It could be 30 below, but you're still sweating outside. And plus, anybody can play it. Anybody from 18 to, look at Jane out there. She's probably 42. And if you get sweet jerseys like we do, oh, you win every game.
Who's it? Hey, House.
My name's Louis Parrish, and I've been playing broom ball for, I think this will be my fourth year. I play for the Animal House, which is a bar downtown La Crosse. A lot of times go after the game. It's really fun. I used to play hockey too, so it's real similar to hockey, which I like.
He likes to throw cheap shots out there.
Yeah, that's the opponent talking smack. Usually typical when he's down. So yeah, there's a lot of John in this game, but for the most part, everybody's friends and it's a good time. Even when it's negative 30 out, it's still fun to get out here. Well, it looks like I got to go out in the ice. So.
My name is Pat Scheller. I play for John's Bar, the oldest established brew ball team in the city. I've been playing for 33 years.
Right back, Pat, right back.
My favorite brew ball story, I think the fact that I have been ejected several times. And I've played with people 30 years ago that I'm still friends with, and I'm making new friends this year. I think that's what I like. And I'm 56 years old, and I'm outside doing something in the middle of the winter, 5 degrees above zero.
That was a night of broom ball recorded back in 2013. The match took place on the north side of La Crosse at Copeland Park, right along the Mississippi River. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. Mix of sunshine and clouds today, but still really cold, with high temperatures only getting into the single digits in the north, possibly cracking the low teens in the south. And those wind speeds should be pretty calm throughout the day today. The wind still calm overnight, but man, it's going to get really cold once again, with low temperatures well below zero across the state. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Hey, don't forget, please do leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening right now. Only takes a couple of minutes, and it really does help a lot of other people find the show as well. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.